stunning new development in Indonesia, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh, yes. We've got a picture of it up there at coasttocoastam.com.
Yes,
it is bizarre.
Now,
they say this thing just popped up, Suzanne. What do you think?
Well, it's very unusual to have a formation that looks as complex as that outside of England, and especially for a first time in a country. You know, it's in 40 other countries other than England. Now I guess we've got 41, gradually spreading all over the world. But they're not usually as nice as that one looks, although we still haven't gotten an aerial of it. This is still from, it seems to be up on a hillside and people up above it, or perhaps it's the people are on the hillside taking a picture of it. I guess that's what it is. So we've got a slightly, you know, side angle on it. But you can see that it's quite stunning. It's not simplistic as the best ones are. And, you know, of course, those best ones are not just pretty patterns. The geometry in them is quite stunning. Master geometers, wherever they may be, are designing these things. You know, when you get into being shown the design process, you're just blown away. You know, we have geometric theorems in our literature now that come from crop circles. So they're, you know, much more dimensional. The whole situation is much more dimensional than the casual observer would know.
Did we have any witnesses out there at these crop circles?
With the ones in Indonesia?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the stories that they're telling about it aren't that they saw it actually being made, but that several people in the neighborhood said that they heard something like a helicopter for half an hour or so at the time this thing would have formed during the night, which is kind of unusual. That's not what, you know, there are eyewitness reports. They go back to the 1940s. There used to be a Center for Crop Circle Studies early on, and they would collect all of the information. It was a place where people could deliver whatever information there was. And before they disbanded, they had, I think, about 25 reports. Now, that was some, let's see, early 90s or 15 years ago, and we've had more since then. So what, 30, 40 eyewitnesses who were actually there when crop circles formed. And they all say about the same thing. They say that they've never seen a craft, and this half an hour of helicopter noise is not the kind of thing they would say. But what they have said is that there's a lot of turbulence, a sense of the air being very turbulent. There's a lot of light action, shafts of light, blinking lights. Animals in the neighborhood go very crazy. And then when the crop circle goes down, they all say this. They say it's 6 or 7 seconds and the whole formation goes down, no matter how complex it is. So we didn't have any story like that. There wasn't anybody actually watching. The closest thing we have is that noise. But, you know, what was that noise, you know, and there wasn't any explanation for it. Nobody said, oh, yes, there was a helicopter in the neighborhood. Doesn't seem to be.
Most of these formations are in wheat fields. This was a rice field. That's weird.
Well, actually not weird. You know, formations have been in just about everything that grows. Wheat is at the top of the list. It's the one that, you know, it's the main canvas, you might say. But even in England, where the phenomenon is focused, there are three crops, wheat, the last one in the summer season, and the longest lasting, and the one that, you know, oh, I don't know, maybe half the circles appear in wheat. But prior to that, you have oilseed rape, which we call canola, or they call oilseed rape, and then you have barley, and those are main canvases also in England. But when you know, look at the world literature, and some in England as well, you find that they're in strawberries, they're in grass, they're in string beans. I mean, just about everything that's in growing crop or green has had crop circles.
What do you think's going on, Susan?
Well, that of course is a big question, isn't it? What is going on? So now you have to speculate. They're not telling us. I mean, they're delivering all this, you know, wonderful, mysterious, magical stuff. So why are they doing this? Well, you're going to get my speculation. My speculation is that they are doing all of that not so that we read the hieroglyphics or we put the jigsaw puzzle together or we figure out what they are saying, because many of the formations have a lot of content, a lot of information that we understand, we recognize. But I don't think the point is to decipher them. I think the point is to realize that there's other intelligence in the universe, and that if we really knew that, if that were acknowledged, the world would change. And I think this is a benevolent force that isn't imposing itself on us. You know, there's the standard question, why don't they land on the White House lawn? Why are they so enigmatic? Well, that would be kind of abrasive, wouldn't it? And if you were a higher intelligence, would you want to sort of hit a population over the head and punch them into recognition?
No.
I don't think so. I think you'd want to gently kind of give them evidence where they themselves would then figure out, wait a minute, something going on here. And once you really understand that, once you've examined it, and you really understand that, you own that. That's part of you. And it hasn't been an abusive process to deliver it. And I think that's what's going on.
What about the Gaia theory that the planet is alive and this is its way of communicating with us?
Well, that's a beautiful thought, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Well, so here's my answer to that sort of thought, because people will give you many kinds of thoughts like that. Like they'll say, I'm sure it's nature or Gaia, or the future coming back to us, or, you know, anything sort of like that in an abstract. And my opinion about that is the evidence would seem to point to the fact that whatever it is that's delivering this is embodied, like us. There's a very careful design process going on. Choices are being made. Designs are being worked out. And then they're being very carefully placed. These things don't just land at random. For instance, in England, we don't have corporate farming there. We have little family farms. The circles virtually never cross a field where one is half of it is in one person's farm and half in the other. No, it's like each little patch is a canvas, and the crop circle will land inside it. And then where else? What else can you say about careful placement? Well, pretty much all over the world, these things are landing near ancient something, you might say sacred sites.
Right.
Stonehenge is, of course, the most easy to identify as, you know, a sacred site. But England is loaded with that sort of thing. Not so famous, but there are hundreds of stone circles in England, and they seem to point to a time when humanity was closer to nature, when we felt ourselves to be part of it. And perhaps the circles landing near those things are to remind us or wake us up or take us back to a time when we weren't so materialistic and we were really feeling, you know, that we were nature itself, which is really a much more beautiful way to relate to the universe. And I think, you know, all of that is what they're saying to us. And then I think it takes embodied creatures to do that sort of thing, to design like that, a place like that. So something in bodies, I believe, is doing it. So if it's Gaia, well, Gaia has creatures somewhere.